Do any of them want to be mothers? What do you think? Well, if we just assume that half of the student loan debt is held by women, by statistically it seems that makes sense, right? Men and women are both in college. And if we say, okay, half of the women have half of the debt, that's $750 million. Okay, if mothers, before they even become mothers, are indebted, do you think they're going to by necessity have to work outside the home to make ends meet? Let's assume things go forward in time like they normally do. Mothers finish college. Maybe they get their first job. They're fine working their first job. But then they have a child and they say, well, golly, there's a lot of things that I want to inform my child's soul with. I should be home taking care of them, loving them, maybe homeschooling them. You name it. But she says, but Bob, husband, could we afford for me just to retire essentially from the workforce when I have $750 million of college debt? Okay, so let's say she makes the very tough decision to say, no, I'm not going to be full-time momming. I'm going to be a part-time mom. Well, that sounds like it might work, right? Just stay in the workforce, Sally. Earn that money just to send it off to Sally Mae and Freddie Mac or Fannie Mac, whatever the heck those stupid names are, the student loan companies and all the commercial loan companies. Earn money just to send it off to somebody that you're indebted to. Good, wonderful, right? That takes care of the problem, does it not? Well, hold on a second. Let's go back to the quantifying your mother's value story. Remember, the work that moms do, according to Insure.com's annual survey, is worth $70,000 a year. So now two questions follow. Is that family going to make enough money to pay someone to do that $70,000 of value? Or, which I think is much more likely, is that mother's work just going to go undone? I wrote, say goodbye to the value of mothers and the lesson of sacrifice. So here's the big question. Here's the big takeaway from this story, or from these combined stories. Student loan debt now topping $1.5 trillion and quantifying the mother's value of an alleged her work value that she's not compensated being worth $68,875. If a mother's sacrificial love is worth $70,000 per year, and by the way, I think the number is much higher. But if a mother's sacrificial love is worth $70,000 a year, but mothers are too indebted and cannot forego working outside the home, who or what or how will that $70,000 of value be replaced? And much more importantly, how will that lesson of sacrifice be transferred from mom to the children? And, of course, we know the answers already. It's already ravaging our society, right? The daycare center child, the public school kids that never see their parents. They basically think they're all renting one home. They come home and they each do their own work, go to sleep, wake up, do it all over again. We already see the ill effects of this type of child rearing. It is resulting in the proliferation of unwed mothers. It is resulting in the shootings at schools. It is resulting, if anybody thinks these things are not connected, you're just not looking at the problem in the right way. I read these two articles and the first thing that came to my mind was that we are actually causing the destruction of the family. We're causing the destruction of sacrificial love. We're causing the destruction of nurtured children who are well-adjusted. And worst of all, we're doing it all for money, just to transfer money from the borrowers to the lenders. I've talked about a slave new world on this show before. I'm going to bring it up again. Do you notice that there's a pattern here? Every time we see a problem on the True Money Show, it's always ultimately resulting in this transfer of wealth from one group of people to another. And who's the people that always receive it? It's the same crowd, the bankers. Don't you find that a little curious? Don't you think maybe somebody's setting us up for this operation? Last time I brought it up, it was in the healthcare arena. we saw that basically Social Security and Medicare was going to pay who? The insurance companies and the banks. Same group. Same crowd. Sandy answered my question today. What is our deadly financial sin and what does it do to us and our families? I think it ties into that very story right there. Of course, there's more to it too, so I'll be addressing that question a little later in the show. You listen to The True Money Show. I'm David Simpson on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. You may call me 844-527-8723. Notice I did get a call from Todd in Colorado because Todd wanted to win a Golden Truth ticket. But I hope that's not the only reason you want to call The True Money Show. You know, you can call in and say, oh, Dave, what do you think about this stock? And I will actually go to my my chart and I'll look up your stock for you and tell you what I think. I can go to that level if you want, or we can talk about all the issues I raised today, like lottery winners as losers, Mother's Day cautionary tale, the Warren Buffett buffet, or the triangular pattern. If you want to talk about that, we can get that back into the interview as well. Okay, let's go on. You want to email me, though, david@tffco.com, and I'm double-checking my email. I'm clicking it to make sure it's refreshing. For whatever reason, I'm not getting some emails, I think. Still haven't gotten yours, Mike, but I'll figure that out later. Okay. So the other day, I read this horrible story. it was probably one of the saddest things I ever read. You know, every now and then, I'll play the lottery just for fun. Especially when it gets to be like $8 billion, you know, it'd be nice to win $8 billion. I could set the Crusade Channel up. I'd actually buy Mike this giant radio station. He'd actually have a terrestrial and internet radio all in one. And so, you know, you think about these wonderful things you're going to do with your money, right? If you won $8 billion. And then you say, but we've all heard the stories, right, about lottery winners going broke, about lottery winners becoming, you know, bankrupt or destroying their life or whatever else. And you always wonder, well, how does that happen? And what we know the statistics, as a matter of fact, I'll read you the stats in just a minute. But it really takes a different turn when you look at one particular case, when you assess one person going down the spiral of what would we call it? I'm not going to call it money loving because I don't think that's how they really intended it. Basically, becoming addicted to money, getting like money like a narcotic. They take the drug of having a whole bunch of money and they become addicts. And that's really what happened in this case I'm about to talk to you. By the way, there's a lot more cases. I found a whole list of them at a website called Penny Hoarder, H-O-A-R-D-E-R, pennyhoarder.com. The story that I read before I found that website, I was trying to get the names of the people who did this because I didn't write their names down. Penny Hoarder has a list of 21 lottery losers. And my guys were 18 on that list of the top 21 losers. In other words, there's a lot worse cases out there. I think you'll find this case terrible enough. So here's the deal. Several experts revealed some research on the fate of lottery winners, which unfortunately is a sad one in most cases. According to research, almost 30% of all lottery winners will be bankrupt after a few years, meaning that their financial situation will be worse after than before they won the lottery. Now, if that's not amazing, I don't know what is. One in three?